You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
Now, democracies everywhere are under strain. Institutions are weakening, public trust is falling, and global cooperation is splintering into smaller power blocks. All of this, obviously, in sharp focus after the G20 here in South Africa. And I think these shifts are forcing countries to rethink what legitimate and ethical leadership looks like. Professor Dominic Zaum is a global expert on governance and institutional integrity, and is part of a major discussion on how countries can rebuild state capacity and strengthen oversight. He is attached to the University of Reading in the United Kingdom. He is currently in South Africa and joins me on MoneyWeb at Midday. Professor, a very warm welcome to you. If public trust is collapsing across democracies, as we're well aware of, what do you think legitimacy even means in this current era?
Well, I think that the collapse in trust really has put the focus back onto legitimacy in the current era, because I think what we see is trust not just collapsing because of questions about the capacity of the state to deliver on the expectations that citizens have, but also a question of representation and the sense that the state increasingly only represents certain sections of society. In the worst cases, you know, almost individuals who are rather serving themselves and their friends and groups around them rather than serving the state as a whole. So I think legitimacy has become really back to the heart of any discussions about the state and the relationships between the state and governments and their citizens.
You speak of weakening institutions. Professor, in practical terms, what is the biggest institutional failure that you see in emerging democracies like South Africa, for instance?
I think there are two competing trends. I think one is that we see institutions still able to deliver, but not to deliver at the speed and in as personalized a way as citizens now expect. And you could almost call it sort of the Amazon effect, you know, when in our dealings with the private sector, in particular, you know, the big companies such as Amazon, you know, we have unlimited choice. We can personalize everything, and it gets delivered literally within a day in many cases. Now, a state cannot respond in such a way. So even though states continue to deliver hugely important public services, you know, they increasingly look out of sync with the experience of citizens in other parts of their of their lives. And I think that is one really important part of that. But we also see states increasingly under pressure to be able to resource the services that they need to deliver and that citizens expect, be it education, be it health, be it, you know, electricity, clean water, the road infrastructure and others, and therefore have this very visible lack of public investment in many societies that just raises questions amongst publics and criticisms of the state.
Professor, let me pick you up on that phrase, delivery at speed. That is interesting. I think you're suggesting that democracies then are becoming a little slower than the crises that they need to resolve. Am I overstretching it when I say the system itself is now unfit for purpose?
No, I don't think, you know, I think then as a democracy is the worst system except of all the other ones. You know, there is no other way in which we can achieve meaningful representations of all groups within a society than through a democracy. And if there is no meaningful representation and no accountability through the ballot box, then we very, very quickly shift back into systems where the state serves the small elite and nobody else.
Let me pick you up on this phrase, mini-lateralism, if I can, which you suggest is becoming the new normal. This fragmentation that was very evident at the recent G20 in South Africa, does it make global governance, has it altered global governance in any way, or is it simply empowering the more dominant states, do you think?
So I think that move to mini-lateralism that some talk about would result in a greater empowering or a kind of the formalization of the role that very powerful states see for themselves. And what we are seeing, we saw it at the G20 summit, but we also saw it at COP in Brazil, and I think in the attitude of, in particular, the current U.S. government towards many of the international organizations, be it at a global or regional level, is that withdrawal away from them in the sense that they don't serve their interests and they can act quicker and defend their own interests more effectively outside of these. So this move towards deals rather than rules very much, I think, undermines the multilateral system. I think that G20 was almost a really interesting counterpoint to that, because, of course, a number of heads of state did not attend. You know, President Trump wasn't there. and the US and withdrew from it, and but also President Xi from China didn't attend. It was hugely important that it continued as it did, and you know, it came to a very meaningful resolution at the end, very meaningful statements at the end, and I think showing the commitment of many, many other states that they see the value of multilateralism and reminding the world of the importance of multilateralism.
Professor, if, as you suggest, we're entering this era of deal-making, is there a single trait or a set of principles that leaders have got to have today to govern through the volatility but still remain legitimate?
So I think the move to deals rather than rules is a really, really dangerous one, because it becomes very transactional, it reduces predictability, it reduces trust, everything becomes transactional. And, you know, rules are there to build trust. And I think what is true at the international level is true at the domestic level as well. We need to move away from the idea that there are quick solutions to what are very complex problems that states and governments are grappling with. And I think leaders being able to be responsive to that, to be, I think, transparent and honest about the fact that these things take time to, you know, in terms of time to adjust, but lay out a very clear path to them in a transparent way is a really important contribution to rebuilding trust.
Professor, you've studied oversight systems around the world. In South Africa's experience, or from what you've observed, is there an effective accountability mechanism, I wonder, that we need to look at, or something that we need to adopt with a little more vigor?
So it's my first time in South Africa, and I have had a number of hugely interesting conversations with colleagues and with experts here in the country. But I wouldn't trust myself to comment upon and comment upon the system in South Africa. I think what is really important is that there is a breadth of mechanisms, and we don't put our faith in just a single silver bullet. It is about formal institutions of accountability. It is about, you know, institutions such as a strong judiciary, but also really importantly, a strong civil society and a strong media that helps to hold governments and elites to account. So I think what is absolutely critical, and I think from what I've seen and what I think the conversation highlighted to me, you know, there is a very vibrant civil society here in South Africa. You know, you have a really important free media. These are key parts of any integrity and oversight system, alongside formal mechanisms such as the courts, such as anti-corruption agencies or other such bodies.
And Professor, just a final one and a very quick one. Businesses often claim they want ethical governance, yet continue to fund and enable political dysfunction. And that's very evident in the United States. Do you have any new thinking or new thoughts on how the private sector should be held to account?
So I think the private sector needs to play its role in this, both in holding governments to account, but also, you know, having the governance mechanisms itself and the oversight itself to give confidence to consumers and to citizens that their behavior is lawful and ethical. You know, to some extent, I think the market can help with this, because we know that consumers really value responsible and ethical businesses. We know that employees like to work for them, and, you know, their motivation, that their trust in their leadership is great, and it leads to stronger companies. Inevitably, there will never be a homogenous behavior across as diverse a sector as public sector, and clearly in the private sector, and clearly in some areas, the incentives for deal making behavior and sort of bending or stretching the rules will always be greater than in others. And I think that's where you rightly say strong regulation and oversight mechanisms come in and can play a really important role to give citizens and consumers confidence into businesses.
I appreciate the insight and the observations, Professor Dominic Zahm. Thank you very much indeed.